There may be some Bible references that I'll get you to read for me. Okay, does anybody have a song they'd like to sing? Yes.
11.
Number 11. Let's sing the first and last, just so that we can sing a couple more songs. Will your anchor hold in the storms of life when the clouds unfold their wings of strife? When the strong tides lift and the cables strain, for giving a hymn out. Anybody else have a hymn? Yeah. Yeah.
Nine.
Number 9. We'll sing first and last again. Come every soul by sin. too, didn't you? Did you have a hymn?
Thank you.
What number?
16.
What's your name?
Ben.
Thank you. What's your name?
Tommy.
Thank you very much. Tell me again, what was the hymn?
16.
Thank you. Whosoever heareth shout the sound, send the blessed tidings all the world around. Spread the joyful news wherever man is found. Whosoever will may come, whosoever will, whosoever will, send the proclamation of. How about a girl? Yes.
Number 17.
Have you any room for Jesus? He who bore the load of sin. As he knocks and asks admission. Glory. Let's stop a minute. And at home, what we usually do is we say a Sunday school verse. You know, I'd give anybody an opportunity to say the verse that's on our Sunday school paper or a verse that they've learned. Is there somebody that would want to do either? You don't have to. Yep. Mm-hmm. You have one that you want to say? Pardon?
Do I have to say one?
You don't have to say one. If you want to, you can. The verse for today is 1 Corinthians 1:18. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Yep. You can stand up and say it.
Preaching of the cross is unto them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved, it is the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1:18.
Tremendous. Stand and say it.
The preaching of the cross is unto them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1:18.
Tremendous. I know you've already got a prize, but that's you get another prize. You get one too. Thank you. Excellent. Anybody else want to say today's verse? Yes, go right ahead.
Preaching of the cross is unto them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved, that which are saved, is the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1:18.
Excellent. Anybody else? You sing another song? We might at the end. Anybody else want to say today's verse? Okay, let's ask the Lord for His help. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for the time to be here and talk to the in the Sunday school, and we think of the cross of Christ and how much it means to us. And so as we look into Thy Word, we ask for help as we talk about the gospel and the person and work of Christ. And we know, Lord Jesus, how everything hinges on the cross of Christ and Thy death for us. So what a privilege it is to be able to present the way of salvation to whosoever will. And so we just ask for help with our time. In Thy name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
You know, that's really what I had on my heart to talk about was the cross of Christ. And in that, turn to Leviticus. This is the verse that I'd like to look at, a verse in the Old Testament. But this one verse brings out four things that I had on my heart to talk about. And is there anybody that would want to help me in reading that verse? If you find it and would like to read it, raise your hand. It's Leviticus 4:29. Yes, Leviticus 4:29.
And he shall lay his hand upon the head of the sin offering and slay to sin offering in the place of the burnt offering.
Excellent. Thank you very much for your help. So as we read this verse, really what this is this is an Israelite that is coming before the priest with a sin offering. And that sin offering, I just wrote this up here, it would probably be, this is not everyone, but it would probably be one of these. It might be something else, but it would be probably a lamb, a goat, or a bullock. And you know, I don't, just to pretend, we'd say that this is our sin offering, and it would be here before the priest, and he would lay his hand on the head of the sin offering. You know, as we think about it, it shows us how the themes in the Bible run from beginning to end. You know, this offering is really pointing to the Lord Jesus on the cross. And so as we think about this, one of the things that it brings to mind is that if an Israelite were here and he was before the priest and he would have his hand on that sin offering, he would really be saying that he's a sinner. You know, he wouldn't even be here had he not in his own heart agreed that he was guilty of sin and that he needed a sin offering. And so as we look at this verse here, one of the things that we immediately see is by faith he is laying his hand on a sin offering. He is owning to God that he's a guilty sinner and that he needs a sacrifice for his sins. And you know, it points us to the gospel. It's really the first step of the gospel. It's really the first step is to own that we're a sinner, that we're guilty before God. And really, that's repentance. And you know, there's a verse that says, God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And so, really, the first place of blessing with the gospel is to see that we're guilty and that we're lost. And so as he lays his hand on that sin offering, he is really admitting that he's a guilty sinner before God. You know, the other thing that he's really in this, and by faith laying his hand on this offering, is that he deserved to die. That's the other thing, is that really, not only is he a sinner, but that he deserved to die. And you know, as we read that verse one more time. Somebody want to read that verse one more time? Yep, you can read it again. Read it real loud one more time.
And he shall lay his hand upon the head of the sin offering and slay his sin offering in the place of the burnt offering.
Okay, here's the thing I want to ask you. It doesn't say it, but we know that this is true. What can you say about that lamb or that goat? What can you say about that lamb or that goat? Is there one thing that you can say about it? Yes.
It deserves to die.
It what?
It deserves to die.
No, it doesn't. That was the next thing I was going to ask. But before we get to that, can you think of something else? You said it. And I'll say it for you. That's a live animal. No, it's not. I know it's pretend. But that is a live animal. And that animal is about to be sacrificed. It's about to die. His life is going to be killed. And that's the That's really the other thing, is that the Israelite, as he puts his hand on the live sacrifice, he's admitting to God that he deserved to die. He deserved to die. He's guilty. He really deserves the death that this animal is about to... This animal is innocent. This animal has not done anything. And so he's really deserving that. He's really saying by faith, as he lays his hand on the head of the offering, that God should punish me. But this animal is going to die in my stead. And that's the third thing that I want to show you. The second is that the punishment, really, I deserve that punishment. You and I deserve death. And you know, there's a verse that says, the wages of sin is death. And you and I are sinners. And you and I deserve to die. We deserve this death, this penalty. That's the penalty. That's the wages for our sin. And so, the next is... As the Israelite is standing here with the sacrifice, the offering that's about to be killed, he is agreeing with God that this is a substitute in his stead. And that this animal is dying as a substitute for him. And you know, I want to stop here just a minute, because it's really a wonderful subject when we look at the cross of Christ and we see what the Lord has done and we see what God has done. God has made provision for guilty sinners such as us, that our sins are not swept under the rug, so to speak. The full penalty of our sins were poured out on the substitute, that sacrifice, the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus there on the cross. And so it's one of the most wonderful principles of Christianity. No other religion can boast that their God died for them. And you and I can. You and I can boast that our God died for us. And so what a wonderful thing to think about. You know, there's a couple verses I would like to read. Look at Luke 22:41. Whoever finds that can raise your hand if you'd like to read it. Luke 22:41. Yes, you can read it.
From them about a stone cast, and kneeled down and prayed.
And keep going.
Saying, Father, if thou wilt be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done.
And keep going.
And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him.
And the last one is 44.
And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground.
Thank you very much. You know, the Lord, as he's here, he knows what's going to happen. He knows that he is going to be a sin offering. He knows that God is going to place our sins on him. And it's something that it says, he being in agony, as he approached the death, and where God would lay our sins on him, it says he sweated as great drops of blood. And so As we think about it, we marvel that God would provide a way that He could bless man, that He could take care of the penalty for our sins, and that you and I could be blessed. And God could be righteous in blessing you and I. And so there's another one I'd like you to read. Go to Psalm 69:1. Somebody else that hasn't read, would you like to read Psalm 69:1? Yes, go right ahead.
What verse? 69:1. Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul.
And read verse 5.
O God, Thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from Thee.
You know, this is looking forward. This is prophetically looking forward to the cross. And as we read this verse 5, we know that the Lord was without sin. And so, how interesting here that this verse would be here. O God, Thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from Thee. You know, He claimed our sins as His own. And you know, that's the next verse I'd like to read in 1 Peter. First Peter 2:22, who did no sin, verse 24, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree. And so the other thing that I would like to say about this is, as the Israelite was putting his hand on the head of the sacrifice, there was a transfer of his sins to that sacrifice. You know, this is a wonderful thing. Because if the sins are transferred, they're no longer on me. They are taken off of me and put on the Lord Jesus. It says that there, He took our sins in His own body on the tree. He paid the debt that you and I deserved. And so we marvel at the goodness of God, that He would provide a way that you and I could be blessed, and full payment would be made for our debt. You know, substitution is a wonderful subject, and there's a story that I'd like to try to tell if I can remember it. There was a school, I don't know the date, but it was in Virginia, I believe. And the school was a one-room school where it wasn't first, second, third. It was all of the grades were together. And it was all boys. And there was, the boys were very unruly and difficult to handle. And the number of school teachers that were there that tried to teach and to keep to be a teacher at school, it was so difficult a job because the boys were so difficult that no teacher could stay. And many times the boys in the class would beat the teacher up. And so the person that was the schoolmaster that was in charge of the that school had applications, and a young fella came up and applied for the job, and the schoolmaster told him, he said, "This is not a normal job. This is," and he said, I know the circumstances, and he said, I'm willing to do it. And so as the teacher came to school the very first day, one of the things that he did, he got the class together and he said, let's make some rules. And so, you know, the kids were all laughing at him. He was not a big fella. And they knew if it got down to any, you know, physical fight that they would easily take care of this little teacher. But anyway, he said, let's make some rules for before we start. And so they started shouting out rules, and they said something like, no stealing. And then they said, everybody had to be at school on time. And they, no foul language. And so they went all the way down until they got to 10. They made 10 rules. So after they got done, the teacher said, if there one of these rules are broken, there has to be a consequence for those rules. And so what would be the consequence? And, you know, again, these fellows were, you know, trying to show their stuff and all, and they said, 10 lashes across the back without a coat. And the teacher said, you know, that's very severe. They said, oh yes, that's what we're going to do. If any of these are broken, that's the penalty for breaking a rule. And so it wasn't long after school had been in session that Big Tom came up to the teacher and said that somebody has stolen my lunch. And so the teacher came to the class and said, you know, we've got a problem. Somebody has stolen Big Tom's lunch. And so the teacher said, everybody will have to get to your desk. And so he started going one by one down the row and looking in the desks to see if he could find the lunch. And he got to little Jim's desk. And when he opened it up, there was Big Tom's lunch. And the teacher said, little Jim, you know that, you know, we made the rule about no stealing. And you know the consequences for stealing is 10 lashes across the back. And he said, we're going to have the penalty for that. And little Jim said, listen, he said, in a trembling voice, he said, you can do the 10 lashes, but not without the coat off. And the teacher said, but that's the rule. That's what we said, that it had to be that way. And he said, you'll have to take your coat off. And so little Jim took his coat off. And he didn't have a shirt. And all he had was just strings that were holding his pants up that were wrapped around his skin. And the teacher said, little Jim, where's your shirt? And he said, my father passed away. It's very difficult to make ends meet. My mom is very poor. And he said, today was wash day and I only have one shirt. And he said, I wore my brother's heavy coat so that I could keep warm. The teacher's heart just sank because he thought, what am I going to do? And as he stood there, he thought, the penalty has to be carried out. And so as he was about to raise the whip and to start the lashes, Big Tom jumped up out of the back of the room and came up to the front of the room, and he said, listen, I will be willing to take those 10 lashes for little Jim. And the teacher said, there is a provision, but we all have to agree that a substitute could take these lashes. And so Big Jim took his coat off, Big Tom took his coat off, and the teacher administered those lashes. And as they were getting right to the end, little Jim came running up sobbing, and he jumped on Big Tom and he hugged his neck and he said, I'm sorry. Thank you for taking these lashes. I will love you forever. You know, it's a poor illustration of what the Lord has done. But isn't it wonderful to see the provision that God has made by substitution, that the penalty that we deserved as guilty sinners. And so as we see our guiltiness and our unworthiness, and then we see the love of God and the mercy and the grace that's been shown to us, indeed our hearts go out in thankfulness and praise for what God has done and for what the Lord has done. Now I want to go up to the last one. You know, this one is just as important as the last one. And this is so wonderful to think about too. And this is satisfaction. And if you and I ever were to doubt God's acceptance of that sacrifice, this is the answer. It's resurrection. It's the empty tomb. He's not dead anymore. He's alive at God's right hand. And so there's a verse that I'd like to read with that. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. And if somebody that hasn't read a verse would like to, you can raise your hand. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 3 and 4. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4.
And the dead.
1 Corinthians 15, 3. For I
delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the
scriptures in verse 4,
and that he was buried and that he rose again, and the third day according to the scriptures.
Excellent. And then there's another verse that you can, that someone can read. It's in Philippians 3. I'll give you an amen after me.
Yeah.
Philippians 3. Oh. You already did 3, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I forget you, at the end, come up and you can get a prize. Just grab one. Anybody else want to read a verse? Yeah. Oh, you've read one. Is there somebody that hasn't read one? I'll read it just because of time. Look at Philippians. Philippians 2, verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So, is there ever a doubt? We look at the empty tomb. God accepts this sacrifice. It's an exclamation point that this offering for sin for you and I is acceptable. He is highly exalted at God's right hand. Here's something else that's really wonderful. Our sins were transferred to the Lord as a substitute. Where are they now? They're gone. The Lord is in heaven. We read that verse where it says our sins were put on Him, on His own, in His own body on the tree. Where is the Lord now? He's in heaven. No sin can get to heaven. Our sins were transferred to the Lord and they're gone. It's so wonderful to see that not only does resurrection show God's acceptance, our sins are gone because the Lord is exalted at God's right hand. And so as we look at this, when we see that our debt has been paid in full, God's holiness was not compromised. And so what a wonderful thing that God can now bless you and I on a righteous basis. And so what a wonderful thing that a willing substitute was provided. And now I want to read one more verse. It's in Acts 16:31. Our time is gone. But I want to read this verse. It's a well-known verse, but I want to turn to it and read it. Acts 16, verse 31, verse 30. And the question is, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Verse 31, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You know, as we stand here and we look at Calvary, we're blessed by faith. We are looking back to a work that was done and a work that is completed. And you and I are blessed by faith in the work of another. And so as we tell out the gospel, there's two things that we see. We see the person of Christ and we see the work of Christ. And so we put our trust and belief in the person and work that was done on Calvary's cross. So in this verse that we hear, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That is what we're doing. We're putting our trust and everything, our hope is built on the work on Calvary's cross. And you know, the Apostle Paul could say, I glory in that cross. You know, it means it's everything to us. Everything hinges on the work that was done on Calvary's cross. You know, in closing, I want to tell you that just a short time ago, a little boy asked me, he said, is it true that if a soul were to die and not be saved, that they would be lost forever? And he stressed that. And you know what that really means is that your faith is not resting. You don't believe on that work. And so, read the last verse we want to read is the last verse of John 3. John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. And here's the answer. But the wrath of God abideth on him. So the answer is, there's no second chance. If a soul were to depart this scene and was not saved, did not know the Lord Jesus, did not have their full trust on that finished work, there's no second chance. Let's just pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for the cross of Christ. We thank Thee for the work that was done on Calvary's cross. We thank Thee that Thou could take sinners such as us and bring us in to a place of blessing, and Thy righteousness and holiness not be compromised. Lord Jesus, we thank Thee that Thou didst become a willing sacrifice for us. We are thankful for the atoning work. And we know if there were any doubt, we see Thee exalted at God's right hand. So we thank Thee for this time that we can be over Thy word, and we commit the rest of the day to Thee, giving thanks in Thy worthy precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen.